everybody. This is Jason.
This is Pete.
And this is the Lost Legions podcast. And what are we here to talk to you about today, Pete?
Even in death, I serve.
That's true. We're talking about Dreadnoughts.
The Dreadnought. The humble Dreadnought.
Humble. Very humble.
Yeah. Not to be confused with your cat, Humdall.
Anyway. Specifically, yes. The elite slot, Legion Contemptor Dreadnought.
Yeah.
So Dreadnought Talon, even. So yeah, this thing is a monster. Coming out of 1.0, it's as a monstrous creature, pretty much.
Of old, yes.
But yeah, I mean, so we've done a couple of videos involving Dreadnought Spore, but this is actually reviewing the actual unit entry as we kind of get into elites as we make our way through the books. And let's talk about the stats on this guy. Movement 8, 5 weapon skill and ballistic skill, 7 strength and toughness, 6 wounds, 4 initiative, 3 attacks, 9 leadership, which doesn't really matter, and a 2-up save. Pete, how do you feel about these? How does it represent a Dreadnought?
Yeah, it is pretty tasty, to say the least, right? So, yeah the big takeaways, really, the thing that people struggle with, I assume, is the toughness and the save is the two biggest points here. Would you agree?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I've found, like, against heavy weapons, it doesn't seem to have too many wounds. It doesn't ever instant blow up anymore like it did in 1.0. But, like, if you concentrate your anti-tank fire on them, they go down in one or two turns, right? Yeah. Like, but you really have to concentrate your anti-tank fire on them. It's that 2-up save and the fact that they never really, because of that, take any wound from, like, a bolter or anything like that, right? Like they just shrug off anything that's not an anti-tank wound.
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're probably quite commonplace by now. You know, we're approaching a year, or it has been a year into the new edition. I'm sure everyone that's been playing the game has come up against them, has used them. They're tough. We all know they're tough. But you know, I think there's a few combinations and things, isn't it, that stand out. Touch on the movement, actually, Jay. So the movement 8 is important. So I always forget this, but that gives you the +1 to the charge range, right, as well, because you're moving, you're in the next movement bracket. So that's a big thing. This guy's fast as well. That's the thing to not forget. And he's also weapon skill 5 standard. So he's choppy and he's fast.
And this is interesting because, like, a lot of people tend to use these guys with double guns now, right?
Yeah.
And you see a lot less double fists, which is interesting because these guys are weapon skill 5. With the way the weapon skill table works now, you know, anyone who is a normal mook with a weapon skill 4 is hitting them on 5s. So they're so much harder to hit, which is also why you don't see as many melt the bombs, right? Because your tax guard tax squad sergeant.
Sorry.
It's very hard for me to say tax squad sergeant. I don't know why. Your tax squad sergeant.
Yes.
Doesn't normally just carry like their 5-point melt-a-bomb, which is now 10 points, because he only hits on 5s, which also won't instant kill this guy.
Yeah.
You see a lot less melt-a-bomb. So it's like your regular troops have a harder time dealing with these guys. They are monstrous, to say the least.
I mean, they basically can't deal with them, can they? Realistically, you're not going to deal with them. You know, you're wounding them with 6s with bolters, 6s with chainswords, if you've got them. All right, you're wounding them on 5s with crack grenades. A strength 6 crack grenades?
Yeah.
But they also hit, but they're AP3, so they don't go through the armor.
Unless you have a Legion trait that lets you wound things easier, and you get some with Dark Angels, Blood Angels, and like the Night Lords, for instance, there's almost no point in like hitting these guys, because like with just regular mooks, you're going to hit them on 5s and you're going to wound them on 6s, and then they have a 2-up save.
Yeah.
Right. So, like, unless you kind of have some sort of advantage where you can maybe flood the zone and get a couple wounds through, like, normal mooks are screwed against these guys.
I'd actually like to see 100 tactical marines take on one Contemptor Dreadnought. Because I know where my money's at.
On the Dreadnought?
100% on the Dreadnought.
I have taken them down before with just normal Assault Marines, but they were Night Lords' normal Assault Marines. Mm. And it took a while.
Yeah.
But like, and I also didn't run away. Because, I mean, the thing is with a fist. Also, I didn't have a fist. That's the other thing. With a fist. So this is why I'm always, for 90% of mine, I like a fist. Because a fist in that situation will always kill 1 to 3 guys. Right? Like every turn. And this thing, you know, is not going to run away. So if you get stuck into a normal squad, you can just, you can run them down. With the problem is, like I just said, with the Assault Marine guys who charged a double weapon one, it just kicks at strength 6 or strength 7. Sorry. It kicks at strength 7. So it's not going to instant kill them.
Yeah.
If they have multiple wounds, it's just going to, they get their full armor save. So you can actually get in a situation where you're locked in there. But do you want to talk about why people like the double weapon ones?
Yeah, and it's just because of the reactions, really, right? So like these things can become absolute gunboats. And when we start looking through the options of the weapons they can take, right? So I'm going to zoom in a little bit here. But we can have... we got Gravis Bolt Cannons, Gravis Melt Cannons, Gravis Auto Cannons, Plasma Cannons, Conversion Beam Cannons, Volkite Dual Coverings, Carrier's Assault Cannons, and Gravis Las Cannons. So which ones, Jay, are the ones you see on a double gun?
I mean, are we going to bring up the double bolt cannon one that you have?
Heavy Battle Dreadnought. So yeah, for those who don't know, I run double Gravis bolt cannon because it's the gentleman's choice. He's a surprise choice. He's my Omega Strike Dreadnought.
Pete's logic was not wrong when he told me. He's like, yeah, people, but on turn 4, you were going to fear this guy because no one's going to shoot him. And you know what? You're not wrong. Like, he's terrifying.
He could just be doing more. Yeah. He's been a solid choice because, yeah, you know, he's a gunboat. Toughest 7 gunboat end of the game. And he's taking mooks off of objectives where it matters.
He is not as bad as everybody, like, there's this group of us who talk about heresy and like people were giving Pete crap about this, and he's nowhere near as bad as people were saying. He actually is pretty good, but like, is he an exciting choice? Hell no. Is he actually the best choice? No. But is he a bad choice? No, not at all. He's actually surprisingly better than you'd think he would be.
Yeah, he's like, you know, he's reliable. He turns up and work on time. He puts in an okay job. You know, he's never going to go for a promotion, but he's, you know, he gets this job done. You know, he's never late with his files. He's a steady worker. He's got a wife and 2 kids. He knows what's up. You know, he's just living paycheck to paycheck. He's that guy, right? He's good.
How many shots is he a turn?
12 twin linked.
12 shots. Yeah, there you go.
12 BS5 twin linked at 48-inch range. It's not to sniff at.
I mean, look, turn 4 when you got mooks on objectives and this guy's shooting at you, like, he is a pain in the butt. Like, yeah. I will give you that for sure. Why don't we talk about the two? We can talk about all of these, but let's talk about the two options that I think that most people use, and then maybe the third one, which I will take a stab at.
So I know which one your third one will be, but you're right. So the Gravis Melter Cannons, 2 of those.
Yeah.
And the Gravis Conversion Beam Cannons, 2 of those. Or are you thinking something else?
Oh, no. That was the Conversion Beam Cannons was my third one.
Oh, I thought your third would be the double Las Cannons because you love the double Las Cannons.
No, that was my second. I think the two most common are the Melta Guns and the Las Cannons.
Yeah, okay.
And then the third are the... So these are the top 3 choices, I think, that people take for the double gunboats. Do you want to talk through them and why?
Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt. So the Melta Cannons are now... So there's 2 shots, twin-linked. So you get 4 shots, 4 BS5 twin-linked, strength 8 AP1, 24-inch shots with Melter. Is insanely handy for cutting elite infantry, and will blow up a Spartan if it gets anywhere close to it.
there's no more armored ceramite, right?
So. No. And, you know, these things have a, you know, 20-inch melt of fret range because they can move 8. And they've got their 12-inch range. Yeah, they're really good. There's not really much more to say than that. It's pretty, they're ridiculously undercosted is the thing here. To think that they're only 5 points more than the bolt cannons that we were just talking about is it's disgusting. Really. It's woefully undercosted.
I agree with you. They are really, really undercosted for what they do. It's almost like, I almost feel like that the second gun should be way more cost than the first gun. Because I don't really have much of a problem with a single melted cannon. I like a Gravis melted cannon power fist guy. I don't feel like they're... But, like, the two melted guns, like, and you, like you just said, the guy, they have a 20-inch melta threat range, and then they can call elite infantry at, what, 32 inches, right, when they move and fire at them, right? So they just lay into Terminators, and as the Terminators come at them, these guys just back off. And... they just do tons of damage and it is brutal. Like, and you know, or they move forward 20 inches and then move, you know, 8 more and next turn they're firing melta range at your tanks.
Yeah.
So like, and unless you put your entire army into them, usually anti-tanks, you can't take one down in one turn.
Yeah.
I would say for the most part, right? They from full health, they take a lot of shooting to kill.
Yeah, agreed. I think they, like looking at it here, so conversion beam cannon and a conversion and a Gravis las cannon are both 20 points each. I don't see why a metal cannon isn't the same points because it's just as good as the las cannon. It's just as good as the beam cannon because it's just as killy, but on a different fret range and different role. But, you know, it's insane amount of shots still. I would see it at the same points.
The Gravis las cannon, why I think it's more balanced and actually a good choice, is, you know, it's 4 shots, but I don't think it's not actually twin linked. So
of course they're not.
So the Gravis las cannon is it's just heavy 2 sunder, so it's not twin linked, right? So this is the difference. So you don't have like this upside where you get 2 shots and your twin links, you know, so you can miss. I mean, you're missing on ones, but you still, it happens more than you think.
Well, you add in our old friend Nightfight, limiting your range and -1 to your BS, then all of a sudden that does start to make a difference, right? You might as well run forward with multi-melters, be twin linked.
Which is why...
And be able to shoot in range. Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah. So I think the conversion beam cannon and the las cannons kind of work similar, right? You want to stay back, hang back, and maximize the range.
I think the conversion beamers can be really powerful because they have such a long range and they get stronger as you get farther away. You put one of these guys with 2 twin conversion beamers in the corner. And like, actually, I think the conversion beamer ones is one of the ones you definitely want twins. Because like with the power fist, you want to close to punch.
Yeah.
But like conversion beamer, you want to get further away. So like you just want that guy in the corner shooting his 2 twin beams of death. And the conversion beamer is just absolutely brutal at its like max. The conversion beam cannon is strength 12. From 42 to 72 inches. So if you put this guy in the corner, you're shooting like across the board, the opponent's tanks. I think you had this happen to you in an event. Dude just ripped through your Spartan, like air shield and all. He was like,
I don't care. Right, as well. It just,
Yeah. And blind.
Blind's good.
So yeah, I mean, these are the 3 main fire support dreadnoughts, I would say. And these are the ones to consider. It's not to say that the rest of these options are bad.
They just don't shine anywhere near as much, do they?
Exactly. And I think that is definitely true. And I think because of like Night Fight and other things, I think Pete has pointed out that melt the cannon shine and the cost, they shine the most.
And then talking about the options then, Jay, are you taking a Havoc launcher or a helical targeting array for 10 points? Which one would be your choice for the low cost of 10 points?
So here's the thing. You don't ever see anybody, I don't ever take heretical targeting arrays because you don't see flyers because of augury scanners, which we talked about in a different video, which might be coming up or might be after this, but like, keep an eye out for it.
depends how we do it.
Yeah, depends how we release these. But that is the problem. So you don't ever see flyers. So there's almost no reason to take heretical targeting array.
But it just gives you, it just gives you intercept now though, right? So you could intercept deep strikes, outflanks.
I believe you can't move.
Yeah, you have to remain stationary and declare you're going into helical mode.
But, right? But I don't think it changes anything else. I think you just have to not move, and then you can declare that you're going into like anti-air mode. But you don't ever, no one takes them because I mean, I saw them at the beginning of 2.0, but I just never see anybody take them anymore because you never see flyers. And like, the problem is there's so many twin link weapons out there now, or you have four las cannon shots with a normal Gravis las cannon dread. You probably will hit that flyer on a six anyway. So it's sort of like, eh, like, yeah, it's an okay option. If there was more flyers, I think it'd be a great option.
Do you not think it's handy for deep strike units though? Cause I think it's incredibly handy for deep strike units. Because it ignores shroud as well, I think. I'm pretty confident.
I mean, I'll actually give it a glance right.
Because you know, if you can imagine four twin linked multi melt shots ignoring shroud on some Huskarls or something coming in.
So the model may not move, run, or declare, or make any other actions other than interceptor or Overwatch. The controlling player may choose Skyfire special rules when making a shooting attack. No model may make a damage mitigation roll provided by the shrouded special rule. So you're right, when the attack, while it's active. When the model makes a shooting attack as part of an intercept reaction, the reaction does not cost the controller player a point. So it's just like the augury scanner.
Yeah.
When a model with the view type helical targeting makes a shooting attack as part of the intercept reaction, that model may fire all of its weapons, not just defensive weapons.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it basically can't move. It can fire everything. It ignores Night Fight, you're right, which is actually maybe not a bad
thing. And ignores Shroud, right? Yeah.
It doesn't ignore Night Fight. Sorry.
It ignores Shroud. Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't ignore Night Fight. That is one thing it doesn't do. But yes, it ignores Shrouding, which is interesting. Yeah. I mean, it's a good upgrade.
Could be interesting.
I think if you're going to take like a double shooty one that's going to sit in back that's long range, then yeah, it could totally be worth it. I don't know if you're going to have a double melt the cannon one. You're going to be running them up in people's faces anyway. I'm not sure if it's as good, but like, yeah, I think you're right. I think it's a total viable choice. And this, I think actually, again, not to bag on the augury scanner, has some bonuses and minuses to it, which actually makes it a more interesting choice.
Yeah.
This, I think, is a balanced sort of nuanced choice to make. Costs you 10 points, but, you know, does give you a benefit if you don't move. It's good. I think it's pretty decent.
Yeah. The difference is you still got that 24-inch limitation to your guns. And the difference is the guy himself doesn't have like 10 las cannons, like a heavy support squad, right? So it's less just hosing the enemy down, but.
Yeah. He only has four las cannons.
Yeah. I actually think the multi-metals would be the one, to be honest. Like you could use him as a real good deterrent for enemy deep striking in on your position. I'd quite like to see that. But that's by the way.
Cool. So what do you think about the Havoc launcher? You're the only person I know who've used them very much.
Yeah, I like it with the heavy bottle guy because it's just more strength 5 wounds going downrange. It's been all right. Arguably the targeting ray would make more sense because if I get to intercept once with it, then it's probably more hits than what the Havoc launch is going to get over the whole course of the game anyway. You know, so there's that. Havoc launch is fine. Yeah. I've not tried any of the built-in hand weapons at all. I've tried any of those.
I guess we should talk about those really quickly. I think the only real discussion here put comments if you think I'm wrong, is between the Graviton gun and the Meltagun. And so this is the weapon that you put in your fist, or dual fists if you're somebody who takes dual fist dreadnoughts, which I still think are really cool. But I don't know how good they are. But yes, so my argument is, I think that the Graviton gun is better in a way, but I think it also causes problems because here's the deal. Dreadnoughts do not have grenades. So what you can do to yourself is shoot somebody, scatter the Graviton gun blast marker in front of your dreadnought, in their dreadnought, then charge them, go through your own difficult terrain that you just put down, and strike last.
Yeah.
So I feel like if you're going to charge, you might not want that Graviton gun. I mean, I've seen it do great things, and I've seen, you know, people lean against it and put it on the edge of the guy in the back so it doesn't really have as much problems. But yes, I'm always paranoid. It's the synergy of things. So I'm like, if I could like jack myself like that, maybe I'll take a Meltagun, which I still think is a great option. Those are the two that I think are the best options. What about you?
Yeah, I think I agree. I think I don't think the plasma's, it's just not worth the 10 points, unfortunately. Mind you, plasma blast is not as bad, is it? It's 18-inch range, two shots. It's not, I think so. 24, 18, I think.
Yeah, but I mean,
it's not so it's bad.
It's only AP2 on a 4. Like,
yeah, it's not still not great, is it?
Okay.
Yeah, I think if you're going double fist, then maybe two plasmas might be worth it to soften up a target on the way in. But maybe. But you know, you're probably better off actually just running the bolters, is the truth of the matter, and just saving 30 points elsewhere or 20 points elsewhere.
Two Graviton guns is two haywire hits, right? Although you do have to contend with what I said about the templates.
Yeah. Chain fists, worth a look at or not? Probably not.
This is the problem. Chain fists are just not worth it this edition. No. I wish that they were 5 points or something, right? Like, or at least the same amount of points as a power fist or something, right?
Yeah.
The fact that they're just more, they're just not as worth it anymore.
And the regular power fist being brutal free is just so handy. Gets you out of everything, doesn't it? Right.
It's the brutal three.
So I think we've established here really, if we're going for the top meta loadout, it's probably a melter cannon, whatever it's called. What it's called now. Gravis melter cannon with a dreadnought fist. And if you've got the points to spare, maybe an extra melter gun shot in there to give you three melter gun shots.
That's my favorite loadout.
Yeah, it's by, you know, and what is that? That's if you go with just a bolter in the fist, it's only a 5 point upgrade. It's 180 points is a Gravis multi melter at a standard fist. It's nothing, is it?
The Meltagun is more points.
I'm saying if you didn't go Meltagun.
Oh, okay.
I'm arguing like, you know, is it worth the 50? It's 15 points for the Meltagun. Is it worth it for an extra like three melter shots probably per game? Probably not.
I like that the Meltagun is more than the freaking...
Yeah, it's weird that it's that much more. I guess you're still getting your combat ability. I guess that's what they're arguing there, but...
The two dreadnoughts I like the most are the dual Laz Cannon dreadnought and the dual... And the single, like you just said, single multi-melta Meltagun dreadnought.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that, like, the double conversion beamer one is great. I think that the... two double Gravis Melta Cannon one is great. You know, the Laz Cannon and Power Fist is okay too. But like, yeah, I think those are my main go-tos. But like, you know, any gun platform that's that tough, like Pete, you do the off-brand fucking heavy bolter one, and it's still good. Like, it's still not bad.
Because the Dreadnought is an amazing platform, as you say. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, it's a top tier unit. If you haven't got one, go out and get one. They're brilliant. Just don't have six of them.
Yeah, exactly. One Dreadnought per 1,000 points.
Yeah, I think that's the rule. Anything else you want to add, Jay?
No, that's it. Thank you very much.
Brilliant. Drop a comment. Let us know what your favourite Dreadnought loadout options are and why. And don't forget to give it a like, subscribe, and a share, and all the good stuff.
Even in death, I hit like.
Hit the like button. Bye.